Welcome to the Everyday Game Changers podcast. You will hear from everyday people in business, music, community, and more who are changing the game. And now your host, marketing expert, and personal branding specialist, Varian McQueen.
Welcome to another episode of the Everyday Game Changers podcast. I am your host, Varian McQueen, and today is no different. We have a very special guest. I'm intrigued because it's a little different than what he do, but I really want to see how he got started. Mr. Tommy Green from Safe Travels Consulting and Transportation. How are you?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you having me. I love business and I love being able to talk about it. So I'm glad to be on your platform to be able to share what I do.
I appreciate that. So we already started talking and this, I'm glad we just pushed record and got into this because tell me a little bit about your industry as far as the transportation business.
Yeah. So non-emergency medical transportation is the industry that I'm in. And when you hear that term, when I first heard it, I had no idea what it was. I'm like, what is it? But there's actually a huge growing need in the country for reliable non-emergency transport companies. So to give you just a real kind of, quick view of what that type of company is we specialize in wheelchair, ambulatory, and stretcher transportation throughout, we're in Palm Beach County, Florida, but you can do this business pretty much anywhere in the country. And with the country getting older and older, it's really important that there are very reliable companies in this space that can, get, your mother and grandmother and grandfathers to doctor's appointments and things like that around the city. So the business actually feels a pretty big need that's out there, and there's room for, a lot of people.
So how do you stumble across it? I'm always on YouTube just looking at side hustles, and I'll be so intrigued by, people finding a niche. I seen a YouTube video of a guy, he makes $8,000 a month, and all he does is flip couches from Craigslist. Couches, right? So he goes on Facebook Marketplace. He only does sectionals. He only does couches where he can remove the cushions and clean them. And he has a public storage unit where he keeps all the couches, and people just come and buy used couches from this guy. He's doing $8,000 a month. His initial investment was $1,300 just for the truck.
Just to get the truck to move the couches. And a lot of you can find some free couches on Craigslist.
And that's what I'm saying.
If you look hard enough.
So I'm always intrigued by these stories. How do you stumble across this industry?
Yeah. So great question, right? So I owned a house. It was a townhouse. And it was in one of those communities that some of the places are being rented out, So the next door neighbor to me was a rental. So I have all type of tenants come in and out, next door to me. So one tenant came in, a very smart young lady doing very well in her life. She had a Mercedes Sprinter van parked outside all the time.
Yeah.
And, every day I'm coming home, I'm seeing this Mercedes Sprinter van. I'm like, I asked her, what do you do with this? And she's like, because I'm thinking, in my head, first I'm thinking, you move rappers around. That's my first, brain, which completely was wrong. She's like, no, I own a non-emergency medical transportation company. And that's when I said, what the hell is a non-emergency medical transportation company, right? Of course. So she starts to tell me about the business a little bit, and I'm listening. I'm like, so you just, pick people up and take them here and there? And he's like, yeah, my uncle's the driver. And she's telling me the business, but she's telling me how many headaches she's having, like running it. And in my mind, I'm like, those wouldn't be headaches for me. I can work through those things. So so long story short with her, she ended up trying to sell the business. So she was done with it. She had another real lucrative business. She didn't have time for it. So she was looking to move on. So I was in the process of trying to buy that business from her because I saw the opportunity. Because it was going to come with the van, it was going to come with all her contacts. So I was like, kind of buy it. So in the process of me buying it, someone else bought it before me. Right. So that, little fire under you,
Yeah,
not a big one, but a little fire under you,
Okay.
So that next week or so, I went out and bought a van, worked with a partner of mine. We bought a van. And then I'm my other life, I'm a digital marketer. So we put a website up.
We definitely got a link because this is two stars is aligning. Man, I have a marketing company in Hollywood.
Oh, so, yeah?
Yo, this is so crazy.
I own a digital marketing company down here in South Florida. And that's one of the reasons my transportation company does well is because I have a good SEO footing on it to make
you know
it,
what you're doing, right?
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. I'm not, you know, I know what I'm doing. So, I made the website, I bought a van, and then probably 4 or 5 months later, the phone started ringing, and you know, it hasn't stopped ringing ever since. So, I kind of stumbled into it, and
that's
now
crazy,
you know, it's you know, and you're from South Florida, so you know that what the population is like down here.
Oh,
you
my
know,
goodness. Of course.
You know, it's an unlimited supply of possible customers.
You are
know?
You from South Florida?
I'm not from South Florida.
Where are you from originally?
I'm born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky. I went to high school there. I went to elementary school there, but I went to high school and college in Michigan.
Okay.
So I went to Eastern Michigan University, Go Eagles. And once I graduated from there, my wife and I moved to South Florida, and we've been here ever since.
Why South Florida?
Have you been here? You've been outside lately, bro?
I have. I'm not from here. That's why I'm the reason asked that, right?
Great question.
I get to meet a lot of people who are doing some great things in South Florida, right? What I've realized is a lot of people that are movers and shakers are not from here, right?
Absolutely.
So I relocated from Delaware. In 2013.
I've never met anyone from Delaware.
Really? So,
never.
So it's interesting because the people from here can't figure it out.
No.
And we come here and figure it out. So I always ask that question, like, you must not be from here.
That's such a true statement. In a few past lives, I had a lot of past lives. I was a recruiter down here. And I was, you know, trying to figure everything out. And I was helping people get jobs. And I knew that anybody that was coming from up north and I sent them on an interview, they were going to get that job.
Yeah.
You know, the Florida people, they just got the palm trees in them. They they come in with flip-flops. Like they're like, man, if I get it, I get it. Like,
right.
Different. But it's just when you come from other places, you come down here with a hunger.
I agree.
Like your hunger is to figure something out and to, you know, be just as nice as the guy next to you. You know, I hate to say that, but like, you know, there's a embedded passion that you have down here when you come from out of state. You know, you got to figure something out or you got to go back home and say you didn't make it. You know?
Yeah. And that's what you don't want to do, right?
That's what you don't want to do.
You got to hear that. Well, we told you that, you know, that was a bad decision. It wasn't all the way thought out. And I think for me, like, when I used to come to Florida a lot before I even decided to move here, I always seen how much money was being circulated in Florida, right? So even if I went to Miami or if I just flew into Hollywood International and just went to the Hollywood Boardwalk, just on a random Tuesday, it's money being circulated. I'm like, does anybody work here? Like everybody's always at the beach. They having lunch and brunch on the beach. And I'm like, this is this real life? Like, so I'm like, you know what? It's got to be opportunity. I felt like where I'm from, I had done all I could do. And it was just like, you know what? I got to go somewhere around some hustlers. It wasn't no hustle in my state, right?
Yeah. No, you know, I'm from, you know, I went to school near Detroit, you know, so there's a lot of hustle there. You know, a lot of people, you know, running fast, but not, you know, so, I mean, I got a lot of love for Detroit. You know?
Yeah.
But when you live down here in South Florida, it's just a different level of inspiration that you ride by.
Of course.
You know, like I take my, you know, when people come to visit me, I'll take them and just ride down US 1.
Yeah.
You know, and just show them, you know, mansion after mansion after mansion after mansion. And I just tell them, I'm like, these can't all be rappers. These
Facts.
Can't all be football players.
That's a
you
fact.
You know, these can't all be, you know, these are regular doctors and stock investors and people that, you know, figure out a different way to, you know, make a lot of money.
And it's just their Florida home, right?
It's just their Florida home, right. You know, they might not even have the blinds are closed on it. They'll be there in a few months, you know, like it's just their Florida home. So, you know, when you get to kind of see that on an everyday basis, it changes your palate for what is success.
Agreed.
You know, I'm from Michigan, you know, I'm for, you know, like there's, the level of success isn't as high as you would say it is in South Florida because It's just, it's everywhere. You can't get away from it.
Got it. So that's interesting. So in from the marketing perspective, what made you shift? Were you just looking to diversify your portfolio, or did you see any changes in the marketing industry? And why I ask that is because during COVID, I lost every marketing client. All my clients was small business owners. Like, look, Baron, we don't even know how we're going to pay for your marketing services. We might not even be open. So the marketing budget was the first budget cut. And it was like it happened in a matter of 2-3 days when COVID hit. Like, my plumbing contractor, my window company, all the people that I had contracts with for marketing just slowly was called. I'm like, are they all together? And they all calling me at the same time?
Yeah.
So how did you, are you portfolio diversifying, or are you just from marketing to this?
So what's funny about me, right? I'm kind of a unicorn, and it's weird to say that, right? So I've held really high positions in like really good companies. The last like W-2 position I had was a VP of marketing.
Okay.
So I have a lot of experience through that digital marketing space. So I was able to retain a lot of clients really based on relationship and knowledge. Like I've able to kind of navigate them through the hard times. Like I have some large restaurants around the country, and they went through a tough time, you know, but you know, I was still able to retain them by providing value and things that we could still make money while in a crunch, if that makes any sense, you know.
Okay.
Change the email marketing strategy a little bit, change our light box strategy, you know, really try to, you know, work with the times, what we were trying to do during COVID.
Yeah.
And then another benefit to my life, the unicorn style, is my wife is a web and graphic designer.
Between the two of us,
we, you know, we have a steady flow of new clients, you know, and we toss clients back and forth to each other. You know, nice. I'm working on the SEO. I'm like, hey, I know this great person for your website design. So between the two of us, we do a lot of good stuff on the internet, I guess you would say.
That's amazing.
And, so it's definitely a blessing having her. She's what keeps me grounded. If not, I'd be doing all type of crazy things. I already know.
Of course.
That was how we navigated. We kind of did it together and worked together on it.
Yeah. So what happened? For me, it was just like it was that scenario that. So when I was getting clients, most of the marketing companies either like keep you on like a 1-year retainer, or, you know, this is the strategy for the year and here's your monthly whatever. So when I was doing this with clients, I was locking them in for 3 months. And then after 3 months, they free to go month to month.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know, if you're not happy with my services, I don't want you to feel like you're married to me for a year or whatever the case may be. So I left them month to month. And then I looked at that when COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
When this month came up, they like, look, we can't afford it. Like, we gotta go. So I launched literally during COVID. I launched a real estate photography company during COVID. One of my friends was a realtor, and he said, Baron, man, I know you take really good pictures. You think you could take pictures of a house for me? And I'm like, sure, man. Took one picture of a house, and then he's like, the pictures came out great. You know, the guy I usually use, he's not shooting because he don't feel comfortable going into homes during COVID right now. COVID, so I was like, look, bro, my marketing company not doing well. I'll take pictures of the roof, the backyard, send them
everything
to me,
right? Need. Yeah.
And then it was so consistent with him. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is something that's working during the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm, so the housing market wasn't affected at all.
Yeah, no. So I bought a house during COVID. Everything was moving. Like, you know, you either were moving forward or you were stuck during COVID.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people that moved forward.
And I was just like, you know what? I got to make this a business. Let me get this LLC going. Let me get this bank account open. And I'm like, if I can get, you know, this guy's spending $400 a day with me. Like, if I can get 5 or 10 more like him, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I mean? And man, we did, I think, $150,000 the first year.
Nice.
COVID, bro.
Nice.
And I'm just like, yo, I'm in people's houses 30 minutes to maybe 40 minutes, $400, bro. And I'm just like, wow.
So it's funny you say this, right? So, So I also, because I'm crazy, I started a few other businesses that I haven't, they're not grown up yet. So I make them in their infancy and I SEO them until they become a big website.
You know, my wife told me that's an addiction.
Oh, it is.
She's like, you are addicted to starting new businesses. Like,
it is. No. My wife thinks I'm crazy. But okay. Every year I come to her, I'm like, look, you know, I want to start this business this year. You know, yeah. Like we plan to like, you know, like I have all type of LLCs in my house. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so, but, you know, it's nothing uncommon. It's just uncommon for us. You know, right. You know, there's other ethnicities and demographics of people out here that, you know, play these games and learn this business credit and learn how to, you know, finagle and move things around a long time ago.
Of course.
You know, we're late to the
party. Of course. Agreed.
We're late to having multiple businesses at your home that can, you know, drive your income down to make, you know what I mean? Like, we're late to all that. You know what I mean? Like, so now that we're here, we got to make the best of it, you know? So that's, you know, kind of getting off topic of my transportation company. You know, when I built it, and now that the SEO is working so well, we're on the top pages of Google. So when you move any sort of query in our area, we come up first.
Of course.
Second, you know, so the phone rings every day. So, and now we're working with, so that's all private pay. And now we're working with brokers as well. So the private pay plus the brokers,
okay.
You know, our goal is 7 figures this year.
Wow.
So, how
long you been in this business, in this space?
So I've been in this space for almost 2 years.
Okay.
Wow. You know, and the first, you know, 8 months to a year of it was nothing, you know, buying, you know, doing things in the wrong order, buying a van too early, not having this right. You know, it was a lot of head bumping and a lot of fine paying. But now that I'm through that, I've got a mentor that's in the space that's really helping me navigate these waters. I'm really going to be able to take off this year.
That's dope.
And I'm excited for that.
So in that space, so is it more like, is the goal to work with bigger people that's going to subcontract you out that they can't handle it, or more like you just working with direct?
Yeah. So what you want in this business is you want a mix, right? There's about six different ways your non-emergency medical transportation company can generate revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And they come from a few different areas. Just to throw a few out there, like there's a lot of workers' comp claims that come through non-emergency.
Okay.
A lot of like hospital discharge relationships you can get. So you can work directly with hospitals every time they have somebody that needs discharge. They come right to you.
Wow.
The broker relationships I told you about earlier, that's when they have companies out here like Safe Ride and Logisticare. And what they do is they don't have any vans. They just have a relationship with companies.
Okay.
So they have all the relationships with the patients who need
it.
So all the patients come through them and they just farm out all the work to all the companies that are on their on their roll. So, you know, and they have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of rides to give away.
Wow.
So broker relationships are good. But then you also want to have a good base of private pay.
Right.
And the private pay customers are really your honeypot, because they come in and they pay up front. They pay,
of course.
You know, they pay up front and they pay in advance.
Mm.
So they may call me today for a ride that's not for 2 weeks. But they pay for it now to get on the schedule so that they don't
pay me.
So if you get a steady dose of private pay.
Yeah, you just building your pipeline up.
You can, it helps you allow you to wait on the money from these other forms. Because other forms usually have a net 30, net 45 sometimes. You know, when you're dealing with insurances, you know, you could be.
Of course.
You never know, you know. Right. So so that base of private pay, which is what we built first, is crucial. It's crucial.
You know, that's dope. I mean, so I like the fact that I don't want to get away from the Safe Travels consultant and focusing on the business, but I really love the entrepreneur aspect of what you do. And like, what's some of the misconceptions you think is in this entrepreneur space? You know, like I see like a lot of the entrepreneurs online sell lifestyle, right?
Yeah,
so you see,
lifestyle is on sale right now.
Yeah, you see like, the Lamborghini, you see the rented Airbnb, the private jet where like 10 people paid to get it and they all took a picture. Like,
yeah,
what's the thing about this entrepreneur space right now? Your thoughts?
That's really funny you say that, man, because it's hard not to get into it because you see it every day. Like, I have the same phone you have, you know, right. I see the same people you see. They're selling the same lifestyle to me that, it's hard not to, but at the same time, when you're actually making money in your business, you don't have to, I don't toot my own horn, but I just bought a big ass house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, but I could easily make this into, you know, content heaven where I'm, yeah. You know what I mean? Like where we, you know, all that shit.
Breakfast, you know, out back over the lake, right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like all the posts, like, you know, all the deep posts and stuff like that. But I really want my work to speak for for that sort of stuff. Like, right. You know, if you ever follow my IG or anything like that, like, it's all about my family and the things that I'm doing. You know, I have a few different businesses, so you never know what pops up.
Yeah.
But like, I don't really want to get into selling lifestyle and content. Like, I don't really want to be on your timeline every day.
Right.
Like, you know, and maybe that's a flaw. Maybe that'll bite me in the end. But I feel like if I stay genuine and have conversations like this with people like you, and get the word out there about how you can easily jump into this industry and do what I do. And like, I feel like, I hope that will, you know, jump into the stratosphere, but I see that same struggle. I see the struggle and I don't know what the answer is.
Like, and that's crazy, know? Because I try to tell people, I'm like, you know, what you see on the internet is the highlight reel, right?
Yeah.
Nobody shows you the rough part of entrepreneurship. And that's what I started kind of letting show on my Instagram, where people paying me late and I gotta pull up to their job and tell them I'm not leaving until you pay me a check. You're late. Those aspects. And then I think it's because what would you say when you started getting into this entrepreneur space, one thing you would have did differently though? Or would you be like, you know what, this was the journey and I appreciate it all?
I definitely appreciate the journey. I started my first business 11 years ago as a senior in college. I started a headwear company called Cool Heads.
Okay.
A novel idea that like no one knew about. It was just something that came out of my brain. I put it in a fashion show and then got some publicity and the company kind of took off.
Nice.
So that was my first company. And I always said to myself back then, it was like, I'm glad I started this because for some reason, if I don't sell one product, I'll know how to start another business and I'll know how to do it. And I'll know how to do it again. Mm. And that's what I've been able to kind of carry through my life. Like anytime I have a great idea or something that can work, I know the process of getting that thing off the ground, getting my account started, getting my LLC, going to my Dun & Bradstreet, get my business credit. You know what I mean? I know how to build that to a real business. And so I've been able to continue to do that. So I wouldn't change the journey. I feel like I've learned a little bit along the way every time I've done anything. And now I'm at the point where I have, you know, multiple businesses bringing in income that, you know, and I don't leave my house.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, like, so at the end of the day, I feel like I'm winning, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know there's more to go get.
Right.
So, you know, I still have a list of things that, goals, aspirations, things I still got to check off my list.
Of course.
But I wouldn't change the journey. I would keep the journey, learn the process, maybe just learn some of the stuff a little bit earlier. But other than that, you know, I like where I've been able to kind of build myself to.
That's dope. So like in the marketing space, when I meet with these clients, right? Usually by the time they get to me, they're pissed off with whoever their marketer was before me, right? So I gotta like really calm them down. But how I got into the marketing space, I was working for a hurricane impact window company. Mm. And I was just doing my marketing thing on the side. Like I had a couple little clients I was doing after work or working on their stuff during the weekend. Little stuff, SEO, Google My Business stuff, little keyword research.
That's not little stuff though. There's a lot of companies that don't know that stuff, man.
We can have that conversation, right? They don't understand none of this language, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. All of those things, the keywords, you know, backlinking, all these stuff they don't know. So I was working for this company and I told the guy, hey man, you know, I'm doing a little marketing with my company on the side, man. Like I would eventually, is that something I could do for this company? Like, even though I work here And he's like, oh, you know, we already have a marketing company. And I'm like, well, do you know what they do for you?
Nope.
Like, nah, you know, I'll have, ask the bookkeeper to give you the stuff and you look at it and you tell me what you find. And I'm like, okay. So pull it out. The company is called Reach Local. Huge, big. I'm sure they do the same little thing for everybody, right? Yeah. So he was paying $12,000 a month.
Woo.
And he was with them for 3 years. I'm like, so you spent $500,000, bro, in 3 years, and you don't know where, what they do. And he's like, no, as long as the phone was ringing, I just assumed it was because the marketing company was doing what they was doing, and I just paid.
Wow.
So I was like, well, I'm looking at this breakdown. Do you understand any of this stuff? Like, do you know they're only using 2,000 of the 12 and they're pocketing 10?
The marketing spend.
And he's like, what? I said, yeah. I said, but the problem I see that you have in your business is this girl up front that answered the phone, she don't ask the right questions when people call.
Broke the whole business down.
And he's like, huh? I said, when the phone rings, she just take their name and say somebody gonna get them back. We don't know where the lead came from. Was it the trucks on the road? Was it the marketing. Google, my business, all of this stuff. And he's just looking at me, right? But because I look like who I am and because I'm young, they just discredited everything that I said.
Jesus.
Right?
Let me tell you, let me slow you down. You said two things in there that hit so home for me, right? First thing you said, you were saying that you had a few clients that you did after work and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, that's my specialty, right? I kind of wrote that in my bio. I'm Mr. 5 to 9, right?
I like that.
Forget your 9 to 5, right? Get your 9 to 5 to get you to where you got to go, right? What the hell are you doing from 5 to 9? What are you doing after work that's going to make you be able to leave that 9 to 5? You know what I mean? Like, you know, so the fact that you were even doing that to build your strength up, you know what I'm saying? Is amazing. And that's how I've started all my business. Like I recently just stopped working for people. I would always keep a job, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, but like, I've recently just gotten out of having to work for anybody. But like, I would always work my 9 to 5 and I get off work and then go do my other businesses. You know what I mean? On the weekends, I'm, you know what I mean? So I love that you did that. And then the second thing that's so crazy, and I say this to people all the time, right? Whatever job you're at, they'll never forget what you came in as. If you came in as a truck driver, I don't care how smart you think you are when you tell me this marketing stuff, you are a truck driver. You know what I mean? Like, even if you get the bump ups in the company, they're always going to remember that you started a customer service. And not only that, they're going to pay you like you started a customer service. They may give you that little bump because they, you know, gave you that new position, but it won't be like the pay that they would give somebody that came off the streets with a degree or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And that's just going to be facts across the board. And I've seen it happen in these corporate jobs I've had. I'm like, you know, people with great ideas that they just won't give the credit to because they, you know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
You know, but what you got a lesson in is exactly what you need, which is how I work with most of my clients. Like, I break down their entire business. It's not just the email marketing, it's what's it connect to? And then how do you know this part? You know what I mean? Like, you looked at his whole business, you undressed it, and you should have appreciated that because Jesus Christ, $12,000 a month. You know, some of these digital marketing companies are.
When I started in that digital marketing space, they was calling me the anti-marketing digital marketer, right? Because it wasn't that I was trying to discredit. It was I was trying to change. When people hear the word marketer, it's cringy to them, right?
Yeah.
They associate it with somebody about to just take my money and I don't know what they do. They're going to give me a bunch of reports every month.
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't even read the report, right?
Yeah.
So I was trying to explain to him what you need as a business is it's not going to cost you $12,000 a month at all. That's it. Even if you want to do some ad spend, it shouldn't cost you $12,000 a month. The fact that you was paying it let me know that there's people out here that I could make really good clients by being honest.
That's what you learned.
That's what I learned from that.
That's what you learned for sure. You know,
and I say, you know.
there's a lot of good companies out here that don't want all the fluff of a big, you know, marketing company with all the wealth. You know, they want somebody that they can get on the phone like this and figure out their marketing. And that's how all my clients are. This type of conversation we're having is the same conversation I have with all my clients, you know, focusing on their business, what's making them money. One of my bigger clients is a one of the largest private aviation companies, actually based in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
So when you were talking about those private jets earlier, you made me cringe a little bit because I may be a private jet broker in a minute. Just the relationships are just there, you know, with my, you know, this, my digital marketing company has just, it's opened up other businesses for me. And I think that's going to be another revenue stream that I'll be able to open up because of my digital marketing company relationship. Yeah.
And that's dope, man. That's what I told, like, that's what I told my wife. I said, you know, had I had not had experience as a marketer, it would be terrifying for me to open new businesses. Absolutely. But for me, I know what I need to do, right? Yeah. I know everything that I need to do. So it's very easy to, in 24 hours, have a business up, web page,
you know, new logo,
We
got the coming soon page up, you know, like we can, you know, and I recently got into this ClickFunnels stuff too. So that's a whole nother, you know, avenue. But like this, like if you know what you're doing, like you can get something up off the ground and go, you know.
Every time I tell my wife I have an idea, she's like, I'm like, well, I got this idea. Just hit me in the middle of the night. And she was like, you already got the website up, don't you?
Yeah, you already bought
the got Google My Business codes coming in the mail, don't you? Just like, yo.
Yo, our wives need to be in a therapy class together for both of us because
we definitely gonna have to do dinner or something, man. Connect, man.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So talk to me about like somebody that want to get into this space of the medical transportation, right? Is what's the startup? Is it just like, yo, start with a vehicle, or would you say no, go get the client first and then I need a van, or you know what I mean? Talk to me about it.
So to take my experience and put it on the table and be able to rearrange it, you know what I mean? The best thing to do is to go get your licenses and your website first.
Okay.
Get that stuff out of the way because you're going to need to get all that stuff done and out of the way while your website is growing and getting ready, you know what I mean? And getting all the SEO juice that you would, you know, that will help you get started with. And then also in that time, you can start trying to build broker relationships, get everything ready for that, right? And that's the sort of the infancy, like you're not riding anybody. You're putting money down, putting information down to figure out the business. Where are you gonna do business at? You know, what cities are you gonna work in? What county are you gonna work in? You gotta figure out your logistics, right? And then once you kind of really get that laid out, then you can start thinking about a vehicle because now you'll be a few months into it. You got your licenses, you got your vehicle for hire license. Different counties ask for different things. Sometimes you might need a chauffeur's license, a vehicle for hire license. There's some other type of licenses state by state and county by county. So once you get all that stuff kind of going, now you can start thinking about the tangible stuff. Who's driving? What kind of vehicle am I using? Am I the driver? You know, and that sort of thing. And then within that same vein, you got to start thinking about pricing. So we can help you with pricing, and we do that with our consulting when you go to our ebook.
Okay.
But you can also just do your own research, you know, call the companies, get on Google, you know, like your computer is so powerful.
That's a fact.
You know, you can be on IG all day, or you can find out how to rule the world. That's your choice. You know what I'm saying? Your choice. So just call your competition, you know, pretend like you need a ride, you know, get a quote. And then you can start trying to see like what the marketer will bear.
Yeah.
And then start making your plans accordingly. You know what I'm saying?
So. That's such a, that's the marketer in you, right? Call up and ask like you get. I tell people, this is how you know what the competition is doing, right? Oh. This is how you know how you, like when I started the real estate photography game, I didn't know what a photo shoot costs for real estate. And some of these companies are so slow, they put the pricing right on their website.
Right on website.
I'm like, oh my God, this is 101. Why would you put your price?
Yeah.
Because now you're locked into a number, right?
Yep.
Competition sees your number. You can't negotiate with the client.
No, I looked on your website and I saw that there was such package. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is 101. I'm going to kill this industry very fast.
And
that's what we did. Like, so
that's good.
The hardest part with breaking in that industry was when you're dealing with seasoned realtors, they've been using the same guy for like 20 years, right?
Yeah.
He comes to Thanksgiving. Yeah, so I'm trying to break up a relationship that's been.
Yeah, you're a homewrecker.
Yeah.
You're a photo homewrecker.
So what I started doing was, I have a real estate license I don't even use, bro.
Yeah.
I started targeting new agents because the new agents were more active on social media. And they didn't have a list of vendors and people to deal with yet because they were brand new. So I targeted them and they killing the game. Like, I just targeted the ones who had the biggest reach on social media. I'm just like, yo, we got real estate photography, man. I want to help, man. First house, we do it free just to make sure you like the work. And then, because it's always going to be repeat business for me.
Yeah. You give me one, you might have five next week.
Right. Yeah. So I did that and I started showing up the open houses that they have in the neighborhoods, not to buy. I just want to meet the realtor before people get there. Right.
Smart.
So I go there and I'm just like, you know, I don't want to be rude. I seen the open house, but I seen the quality of the images and I'm just like,
hit him.
I'm like, you know, this house really, the images didn't really sell it. I'm here now and I'm looking around and I'm just like, man, I could have did a better job. Like, how can I earn your business? And they shocked. Like,
that's that up north mentality. Like, everybody I know from up north that comes down here with any sort of business is willing to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're willing to do that when a lot of these people that, you know, these foreigners, they're not willing to do that. You know? Like,
the pride in the way, they ain't hustling. It's too much.
Jesus. Wow. That's, I like that story. Like, that's drive. That's figuring out a niche and going to get it. You know, I like that.
And I love that business. I mean, we do extremely well. You know, I got a nice team.
Overhead, got your camera and your shooter.
No overhead. What happened was, as I was growing it, like, I was just focused on the SEO and getting the phone to ring. Right. So I had two photographers that worked for me. And I'm like, look, this is your percentage. My job is to just keep y'all fed, like the leads. Yeah. We brand new. So I think my photographers was maybe making $600 a week, something like that. And then they called me and they said, hey, Baron, you know, I think I'm going to take a break. And I'm like, what do you mean you're going to take a break? He's like, I can make this $600 collected unemployment.
Dang.
And I don't have to go nowhere.
And I'm like,
I'm like,
wow.
But bro, what you're doing ain't hard work. Like, you,
you
in a house for 30 minutes.
In and out.
You making $200 an hour, bro. I'm confused. Say, but I can make the same money at home. And they both quit.
Jesus Christ.
So then unemployment for them had got cut down to like 275 or something a week, right?
Yeah.
And then my phone rings. And they're like, hey, man. You know, you still busy? So, man, I'm busy as ever, man. I'm doing 3-4 shoots a day. I'm making about $1,600 a day, and I'm doing it myself.
Yeah.
I'm actually shooting them.
Yeah.
He like, oh, you doing the photography? Yeah. I brought in editors now, so I don't have to edit it. I literally shoot a house, email it, and they already work because it's a next day turnaround.
That's a system, man. Building systems, man. That's the only way you can, really 2x yourself, 3x yourself, 4x yourself. You got to have systems that just work.
Yeah, you know? But I had to learn that industry is a 24-hour turnaround. So if I shoot on Monday, they want to expect their pictures by Tuesday.
Dang.
So I'm like, at this rate, I could only do one house a day if I got to shoot it, go home, edit it. And I'm just like, I can't scale like this. I need editors.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like that.
And bro, that thing just runs on its own now. And it's just like, now I'm like, I need something else.
I love it, bro. So, that's kind of how, like, with my transportation company, like, you know, these, I started off, I bought a van. So I had a van, had drivers, you know, I'm managing them all the time. And, you know, that shit's like, that's fun, but it's tedious. Like,
of course,
you know, like, and I was just having troubles with my drivers. I went through like five drivers
over
the span of like, a year. Mm-hmm. So then what I started doing is I started to do like a dispatch only sort of service where now all I do is I have relationships with other licensed companies mm-hmm. who don't get a lot of work. I'm just farming it off. You know what I mean?
Nice.
So, I pay them as independent contractors and I get all the work and I just hand off everything that they can do. You know what I mean? So, and if this guy can't do it, I've got another company. If that company can't do it, I've got another company. You know what I mean? So at this point, this business can always run,
right?
You know, because I'll just need to manage my relationships with these other businesses, and I'll never have to. I won't necessarily have to own vans.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, which keeps my costs down because I don't have to hold automobile insurance. I just have to hold my commercial general liability insurance.
Gotcha.
So there's ways to kind of different ways to skin this cat and still make some pretty good money in this industry.
So talk to me about, like, what's the future, man? What if I talk to you 3 years from now, where you want to see yourself? What's the plan?
Man, so this business is going to blow itself up. Like, I've already made it. It's already a staple in the community. I couldn't stop this business right now if I wanted to, you know. It really grew in the pandemic. One of the benefits of the pandemic is that like two of the major companies in Palm Beach County went out of business and we came in business. So a lot of people were calling out, are you guys such and such company? I'm like, no, that's not us, but how can I help you? So it really helped us grow in that pandemic year. So now that I brought on a mentor consultant who's super big in Palm Beach County, he's really going to kind of move some of the mountains out of the way for us to make it even easier to get to some of the goals that we have. So 3 years from now, I definitely see this being a seven-figure business.
Nice.
I see this being something that just keeps growing on us, and it'll be something I can leave in my family and not really have to do much of work in it anymore.
Talk to me about that, though, that mentorship. You know, I get two sides of the mentor thing, and I feel like I had an interview with a good friend of mine, Kyle Dendy, and he said, when people pay, they pay attention.
I would hope so. I would hope so, but I don't know if you've seen that statistic, that crazy low statistic that, like, I forgot what it was, but it's a very low percentage of people that actually take the courses that they buy.
Yeah.
So they buy all these online courses and they don't even do them. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so that sounds good in theory.
Yeah.
But there's people right now that I know right now that have bought my course
and haven't opened it.
You know, you go into your dashboard to see like what percentage complete they are.
Gotcha.
It's 0%, but they paid me $1,000 for the course.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't put the hustle in everybody. I say this all the time. Like, it definitely has to be in you. You have to want to get up every day and like figure things out.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you'll just have a bunch of courses and pay for a bunch of talks that you don't put any action on.
Yeah.
Which people do. Which,
yeah.
You know, agreed. I can't. You know, the people do that. But the people that have that in them are going to take this little information and go right to Google and be like, "What is non-emergency medical
transportation?" Of course.
You know what I'm saying? And then they're going to get started on their journey. Like I got started on my journey. So it has to be in you, man. You have to know, you know, what you want to do in life. And yeah, about it.
How important was finding a mentor for you to kind of grow?
So he's a consultant.
Okay.
I'm making him a mentor. he might not know he's my mentor.
Gotcha.
But he came to me as a consultant I was looking for a new platform to use for my dashboard for my non-emergency medical transportation company. So I called this company. They gave me a preview or whatever, a Zoom call. And they're like, yeah, we can't help you, but we work with this consultant and he just so happens to be in Palm Beach County, Florida. And I'm like, really? So when he sent me the information, he reached out to me first and we hit it off from there. And now we, you know, have a consulting relationship. He's like huge in Palm Beach County. He's like sold $1 million non-emergency companies.
Wow.
The last company he had, he told me they had 35 vehicles and they were doing 1,200 rides a day.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can imagine what sort of revenue comes with something like that. And he's going to help me, you know, roadmap to
blow that thing up.
Yeah, the numbers like that. So that's my 2022 vision with this, with him. And yeah, so 3 years, you know, like when you asked me about that 3 years, you know, if I get 3 years under my belt with this guy, I don't know where, I don't know how things will go, but we'll see.
That's dope, man. So I wanna wrap up, but I really wanna, what's one piece of advice you can leave with our listeners? Either from your experience, your journey, what's one piece of advice you can give them that they want to start something, even if it's not what you do, they want to start something, they scared, they nervous, or they've been doing something on the side, but they don't know when it's the right time to leave their job. What's one piece of advice you can leave them with?
What I would probably say is don't be afraid of the word how, right? I say this all the time, like how, the word how has crippled so many entrepreneurs and crippled so many people from everything. You know, when people get to the word how, they're like, well, I don't know how. So, all right, well, forget it. Let's just turn the Xbox back on. Or let me just go back to my job because I don't know how to start that business. Or I don't know how to go get my LLC. Or I don't know how to actually put this in play. You know, don't be afraid of the word how. Like, embrace how. You know, I love how. Like being on the other side of how is the best feeling that you can have. When you can have a scenario in front of you like, man, I don't know how to get business credit, or I don't know how to start a non-emergency medical transportation company. And then once you figure it out and get on that other side, there's no better feeling for me as an entrepreneur. You know what I mean? Like, I figured it out. Now the revenue's coming. This is great. Let me figure out how to do something else. You know what I mean? So embrace how, don't be afraid of it, and don't let it limit you. Because, you know, you can be working all day, but that 5 to 9, figure out some hows.
I love that, man. I appreciate you, Tommy. We definitely going to exchange contact. Yes. I wish I'd have known you was in. We got to do lunch or something, bro.
We can catch the beach, Las Olas.
Yeah, man. It's very small amount of people that I can have these conversations with. You know, just even friends that they don't get it, you know? Yeah. So it's always good to meet some like-minded individuals. I appreciate your time.
Yes, absolutely, bro.
I thank you
for having me.
That's another episode of the Everyday Game Changers, talking to everyday people changing the game in business, community, music, whatever you do, man. And I appreciate you, Tommy. We'll definitely follow your journey, and we're going to do a follow-up. So I thank you, and I'm out.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Everyday Game Changers podcast with Barry and McQueen. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a review and follow us on Instagram at Everyday Game Changers or on our official website, www.everydaygamechangers.com.